welcome to a four times match reaction. It's the first competitive one of the season. You join us just about 25 minutes after Celtic drew one each with Danish side Midtjylland in the Champions League qualifier. Just in case you somehow missed the game, Celtic started very well. We're on the front foot and eventually got the breakthrough from a new Israeli signing, Lionel Abada, and everything looked to be going pretty well. But then a moment of madness from Nir Beaton, who was already on a yellow card, decided to get in the face and start pushing and shoving the Midtjylland boy who had been went down looking for a penalty and been booked for diving, seeing Beaton receive a second yellow. It sort of disrupted Celtic's flow. They had to make a sub, and I wouldn't say they were really in massive danger against 10 men. In actual fact, it didn't last too long because the aforementioned player who was booked for diving got a second booking for diving early in the second half, which seen it 10 against 10. Fortunately though, Celtic did concede, and it was a free kick from between the box and the corner flag. It was whipped in at pace by Brazilian Evander, who, funnily enough, Eric Sviatchenko singled out on his guest interview with us a few years ago as the danger man for Michelin. But I don't think Vasilis Barkas really covered himself in any glory to try to save that. But at the end of the day, a lot of fans thought we were going to beat. I think there was a lot, Danny, I'll start with you. There was a lot to be really positive about in the first half hour. It looked like Ange had somehow worked a lot of magic with what he had at his disposal. But in the end, it sort of, there was still a lot of individual errors and, to be pretty honest, probably a real lack of quality in some areas of the park.
Aye, I mean, your overriding feeling after that is, imagine what he could do with a full squad, Postecoglou. That was, I was a couple of minutes behind the live feed, so I turned my phone off before the game, because there's nothing worse when you're invested in the game and then you get a text saying there's a goal when you're watching like a throw-in or something. But me, I'd have loved to have seen my heart rate that first half. I thought the first 10 minutes went on for about an hour. I thought we didn't have the ball at all. Kept trying to play it out for the back. Greg Taylor was playing as a midfielder. Ralston was playing as a midfielder, and it was just bonkers. And then after about 20 minutes, we grew into the game, and no, we were ever out it, but I just thought the first half, and then after about 35 minutes, I was on the edge of my chair going mad when the goal went in. And I thought that it was no more than what we deserved. I thought, oh, we were brilliant in the first half. And just as you said, a moment of madness we beat on cost us, really, because it cost us not just our only quote-unquote experienced player at the back, but it cost us Abada as well, who was sacrificed for Dane Murray. And Abada looks like a really good player. And he scored a goal, but that boy put on Christie's head was unbelievable as well, just before the goal. And there's so much to be happy about. I was dreading this game. I'd seen a few of the friendlies, and, you know, I thought after the Bristol City game in 60 minutes, I was like, you know what, there's a kind of wee something Postecoglou's trying to do here. But the night, it was just, I text my mate, I put my phone on play mode, I broke out it, he texts my mate saying this is kamikaze football, and I don't know if I'll be able to last the season if it keeps going. I'm devastated they never won. They did not deserve anything other than a win tonight, and they were really, 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 obviously it's the same old mistakes really. Beaton, you could point to that. Barkas should really have saved the goal. I don't know what he's doing. Even you see, he's not even in position. He's trying to cover the near post, but he's kind of leaning over to one side. He just looks really disgusting. But we were unlucky, hit the midmark twice. Edward really just scored. But there's so much to be promising. Like, I said it after 35 minutes, but I've seen enough. Just the board need to back Ange now. They just need to give him the money. And look what he done that shower of shite for last season. That, I mean, Andy, I'll bring you in. That is a completely different team to what, you've seen it after the first half, that is a different team to what we were watching last year.
100%. I think that I was a bit like you. I was a bit, obviously, I've been looking forward to the football coming back and all the rest of it, but I was still a bit fearful because obviously he's just got a team full of shite, really, in particular that back line. But there was so much to be positive. I mean, there's a lot going on in the game. There was some of the same old Celtic, the same old Beaton, the Ralston's, Taylor's, who just aren't they going to be good enough for Celtic. They shouldn't really be here at the best point in time. But I'm keen to obviously try and focus on a lot of the positives, and there really is, like you say, like there's so much, just some players just look rejuvenated. They just look completely different football players. McGregor, I thought he's not really been mentioned much, but I thought he was outstanding. He was trying to lead and set an example, and that's what I got for him. Sorrow, again, just that boy, his weight of pass. Like, see, for the role that obviously he sort of plays in that defensive midfielder role, so in front of the back line. But he's got a willingness to drive forward with the ball as well. I thought a lot of attacks came through him. Christie, a guy we've all done it, slated him to the death. Again, looked like the guy that Rodgers broke into the squad and everybody thought was going to sort of take her to that Stuart Armstrong role. I thought Christie was excellent tonight. In comparison, he wasn't just fucking hitting everything that came to his feet. I thought he was really, really effective. Abada, again, somebody who I was gutted to see him get off. He looks like one of the players who really is sort of gets you an edge of your seat. He's wanting to make things happen. He looks as if left foot, right foot. Before the cross you mentioned with Christie, put another one in. It's just he looks to whip it right in. Seeing him have like, try to go at somebody as well. It's something we really, really missed last season. Obviously, Forrest was out. Dembele was shunned and Johnston was injured, so we didn't really have any width, any wingers. An MD that was looking to run at somebody. So just seeing that and having somebody who looked sort of fresh and just he just wants to play like that. Obviously, when he came in and got his goal as well, it's something that we've just been missing goals for wide areas. Guys that are willing to come in. Brilliant. There was just so much to be positive about. And it's I was the same as you, like, watching it. And I just, like, imagine what he could do with the tools at his disposal, if he's doing that with fucking the absolute dross in that side. Do you know what I mean? He's turning players around. It's what you see for the top coaches. It's what you see for... I'm not saying he's going to be Brendan Rodgers, but the thing about Rodgers is he came in and he improved players. He made them better football players. And you're seeing that with some of the guys who've... under Lennon, they looked done. They looked as if their Celtic careers were just teetering out and everybody just wanted them to move on. But then when I watch today and watching Christie, watching McGregor, I'm thinking this could be something, but we just need to gear the guy the backing. But it's just so unfortunate that we're at a time we've still get beat on making an arse. That guy should never play for Celtic again. I mean, he was lucky after the whole Rangers incident when he fucking got himself sent off. But just get him out. Nobody's going to fucking take him, but I can't be asked watching him just be a bomb scare anymore. You're supposed to be the experienced head at that back line. That's why he's in there. He's no one there because he's a great centre-half. He's not even a centre-half, but he's put in that back line with probably less game time across the friendlies than a couple of the younger boys who are there. But he's put in there to be experienced, to try and help them out, to try and manage them through the game. And he's the one, yet again, making an arse of it. Like, there's just, whether people think, I've seen people arguing about whether it's a red card or it's not a red card. You're on a booking for already a silly foul. Why raise your horn in any way? Laugh at the guy, get up and move on. I just don't feel it. I'll never understand it. Just a fucking muppet at a highest order. And again, Amir Alston, but he's just never a silly football player. And again, Greg Taylor, look, I can see what Andrew's trying to do. Be bringing them into the points, it made perfect sense, and the commentators picked up on it. But it was tempting today, but again, these are limited football players. He's obviously going to try to implement his style of play because, regardless, it also needs to work for the players around about them. And if hopefully we do get players in a higher calibre who will be doing that same role, and the players around them will be obviously used to what's happening, and they'll be familiar with the way we're setting up to play. But I'm a lot more optimistic, so I'm moving forward than I was prior to the game, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what Ange could do and hopefully he gets a bit of back.
Tony, we only had your company for a few minutes on the previous episode. You're quite pessimistic. What did you make of the game? Obviously, the 9,000 there made a lot of noise. Ange got a great response when he first took to the pitch, but what was your thoughts on the game?
It was great to see fans back in the stadium, albeit limited capacity, but brilliant to see we're kind of getting towards that. I give credit to the manager. I mean, I was pessimistic because I didn't think we should be getting into a Champions League qualifier with the kind of back line with Taylor and Ralston. I think that was vindicated tonight because they were shite. They aren't good at what his system is. I'm assuming he obviously wants him to be able to pass the ball, drive down the wing, put good balls into the box. They can't do any of that. They're no competent enough. So that was my worry. And defensively, I don't think they're very good either. I thought Wales starting and then Beaton. I think, how can we begin into Champions League qualifiers with an experienced centre-half and a guy who isn't a centre-half, who let us down the last kind of big game he played in at Ibrox? And again, the night, I mean, that was... I mean, footballers get a bad rap for being thick as fuck, but that's up there with one of the most stupid things I've ever seen a football player do. I mean, people say this day and age, I mean, it's been like that for fucking 25 years. You flick your horn in somebody's face, you're getting usually a red, but you're getting at least a second yellow. Just so ridiculous. and it takes the momentum out of us. It could have caused us a lot more damage. Luckily, we didn't get beat. But I think that should be it for him. I wouldn't play him again. I'd just go, you're obviously a fucking clown, mate. We'll get you a new club, that's it. And hopefully, I'm sure people have seen on social media that Starfelt was watching the game tonight. It looked as though he's in a hotel. I'm assuming he's in the UK. Hopefully he can come in for next week, but I don't know if there's isolation rules that might prevent that. There were real positives there as well, which is, again, credit to the manager. I thought Ryan Christie was brilliant, which I didn't even think he'd be anywhere near it tonight. And I thought he was really effective. I know he'd maybe one shot for distance, and it wasn't the worst, but I thought he's passing was good. I thought he was really energetic. His pressing was effective. I was really happy with him. I think that's what Andy says. He looked more like the player under Rodgers. Callum McGregor, again, you've seen him bombing up. There's a few times I thought he could have passed when he shot. He was unlucky with the one that hit the bar. But again, he looked energised and he looked as though he was all over the place. If you can get him going the way he was 2017-18, you've got a cracking player there. I thought Turnbull was quite good in spells. Sorrow's mental, man. He is a dead set for a booking every week, but he does fly in. But there's times he wins the ball, and he's some of his passing's really good at times. He just needs a bit of coaching, I think he just needs to calm down. But he's again very energetic. There was a time, I think maybe 85th minute, he gets up the park, and I think he maybe just played the ball past the Yeti, but it was really composed play. I thought the young guy Murray came on. A few kind of moments where he passed the ball, a player passed it to the opposition. But again, a young guy like that shouldn't he be playing a Champions League qualifier with that much pressure? But I mean, the pressure that boy must be under must be ridiculous. I mean, I love the fact that we can give youth a chance, but play it in a game where it's a cup game or when the league's done, or to kind of bed them in, throwing them into this can be potentially damaging. Again, that's no the manager's fault. It's the board's fault because of no... I mean, when did we know we were going for Postecoglou? About 6-7 weeks ago. When did Frimpong leave? January? I mean, how have we still not signed the right back? It's crazy. It's just, I mean, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again. We seem to do it with the Champions League all the time. But I think if we can sort the defence out, I think we can go over to Denmark and win. I don't have any real doubts about that. I think, again, I thought Abada, a couple of great crosses in, certainly have been badly missing. I think they're there to be got at. They'll obviously be missing the guy who'll be sent off. I don't think we'll be missing anything we beat on. So a lot of credit to the manager for me. Great to see fans back at Parkhead. There's players there that shouldn't be there. But overall, I mean, I thought we were going to lose. So don't get me wrong, we should be turning over teams like that at Celtic Park. But it's just the position previous people in the club have put us in that it's going to take a wee bit of time, unfortunately, to get it back to where we should be. But overall, disappointed with the goal as well. Actually, I missed that out. Barca's completely to blame. I was hoping to give this guy a chance. That's just fucking criminal. Pulled his horns away. Shouldn't he be getting beat like that? We might need to be looking at a goalkeeper. But there's good players there. And hopefully the manager's got another good few coming in.
Aye, definitely. I think a few years on the pod have wanted to back Barca's. And you know what? It's all right doing it in pre-season. But the night was another disappointing. Like, he didn't have much today. But I just thought, to be beaten from that angle was just sort of unforgivable. And as you say, like, it looks like he should just come out and command it. And like, you any player that plays for Celtic, you want them to be a success. But Barkas, in terms of any Celtic keeper I can remember, he doesn't seem to have any sort of stature or like being able to command his defence or command his box. Like, it's disappointing. Maybe he will come good, but I don't know. I spoke to you as well a few weeks ago saying I wondered if Postecoglou would like to bring his own keeper in. I know there's talk about Matt Ryan, who's obviously moved to another club, and then even at the weekend you had links with Fraser Foster again, which I don't know if that's the answer. But Danny, just one person I wanted to bring up to you was someone that sort of fell into the team sort of by default with either how poor the centre-backs we had, like Shane Duffy in that last season and injuries to Julian. But I thought the night Stephen Welsh was very impressive. I thought he looks like he's really learning from Ange Reddy and developing as a player. I know he did give the foul away that led to the goal, but yeah, other than that, I thought he was very good tonight. What did you think of him?
Did he think that was a foul? I thought he won the ball quite clearly. I thought he was outstanding. And I don't hold out much hope for Welsh. I said on here, I think he's a kind of Darren Adey type where, you know, he could maybe get a job at him, but he's going to, you know, he's got a very low ceiling as a footballer. But I must admit, I thought in the night he was outstanding. Played like a 28-year-old in that team. Made a joke on here the other day that he's our only senior centre-half, and fuck, he played like it tonight. I don't think he put a foot wrong. I thought he was really unlucky with that free kick. Really impressed with how he read the game. He had a couple of great tackles in the first half. His passing kind of let him down slightly towards the end of the game, but I thought it was really good. And as you say, he kind of fell into the team last year through injury and then kind of being steady enough that he wasn't as much of a disaster as the rest of them. But, you know, the manager could be the making of him. And I know it's early days, but as you've seen that Postecoglou training video, he seems, you know, he was kind of giving him a hard time for not winning a ball. But it was like a kind of, you know, good way, as if he's kind of taking him, as if he'd taken to Welsh kind of early on. And listen, we need two centre-halves and we need a right-back. I thought the criticism of Taylor was quite harsh. I actually think Taylor did a decent game tonight. He's lack of quality on the ball. You know, you can get away with that. Other clubs probably can't get away with it, Celtic, for too long. But I thought his energy was really good. I thought he defended really well. And I'm finding it hard to fault anybody really that in that, because they all looked as if they were at least trying to play to the system that the manager put them in. But aye, Welsh, really encouraging. And if, you know, if Postecoglou can get that extra kind of 20% out of Welsh, it could be the difference between him being, you know, a kind of stand-in for a couple of years, and then, you know, you read that he's fucking signed, I don't know, for somebody in the Championship down south, or, you know, he could be somebody that's going to be a Celtic for a long time. But good luck to him. I thought he was outstanding tonight.
And throughout most of pre-season, Postecoglou had went with Ajeti up front. He obviously went with Edouard tonight. I thought, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Edouard, or if he will be there for the fullness of this season, but I thought at times, again, like, you've come to expect it with Edouard the last few seasons, but he's just not as clinical as you'd maybe like. I thought he had a few big chances tonight that he should have done better with.
I'd have to agree with you, aye. He's looked like that recently. And obviously, he would put it down to the whole team. I mean, if you take last year, for example, the whole team were miles off, and he was no exception to that. Obviously, he still finished the top goal scorer, but you would have fancied if it was the Edouard for maybe a year or two prior to that, he'd have double the goals that he did. Like you say, in the night, it was just, you felt as if a fit and fire in Eddie that we've seen in the past would have had one, two. And there was that one in particular, I can't mean who it was that played him in, but he went through one, and it was almost like a pass back, to be honest with you. And it's something's not quite right about him, but I'm hoping that in this occasion, it's just a wee bit of match fitness, a bit of match sharpness, as you say. As yet, he's been the one who's played most of the pre-season friendlies. He's been obviously getting game time, which I think is probably Ange trying to work out, obviously, the system, because he'll know that Eddie's riddled with quality. And, I mean, he'll not be daft to how Celtic have been, not just last season, but prior to that. He strikes me as the type of guy who he'd have covered every bit of that. He'll know exactly how players have been who have been here for a number of years. I think he's probably been trying to give Ajeti a chance to see what he's got about him, and obviously he's come back looking a lot sort of more trimmed and fit. So I don't know. I wasn't too surprised that Eddie started. Whether or not he'll be here by the time the window shuts, I really don't know. I've got no idea. It might be the case that we just want to qualify for some sort of European football past Christmas, and then he goes, but I'm not sure. But he was probably one that I felt wasn't quite up to the standard of the rest of them. But it's probably just for the expectations and the standards that he set himself before, because we know how good he can be, that comes with. But I just as well, just with that, when you and Danny were talking about Welsh, obviously, I've been similar to Danny. I've been quite critical of him. And again, I probably echo what Danny says. He's not somebody I think he's going to be a world beater, but I thought, credit where it's due, and I'll always say that he was outstanding tonight. I thought he was brilliant. He was a rock at the back, and it really did put shame on that absolute moron Beaton, who was next to him, when a young boy like that, he's struggled at times in the past and he's made mistakes, but he's the one who's acting like the experienced leader. I just wanted to obviously bring that up and give him credit where it was due tonight.
I think, look, I said on the preview that I've never been a big fan of Beaton, because it's not just a one-off you get with these type of mistakes. Like, you can even go back to his European debut against Ajax, and I think he was on the field about 8 or 9 minutes before he got sent off. And like, as you just mentioned, like, the last big game Celtic probably had was the New Year game at Ibrox, and he got sent off in that. And like, it's just, as you say, Danny made a joke about it, about Welsh being the only sort of senior centre-back, and I completely agree, he did look like it. And yeah, good luck to him. Hopefully he does come on leaps and bounds under Ange. Tony, we're at the halfway point. We've seen Michelin for 90 minutes, and we go to Denmark next Wednesday, hoping to come out of that tie and face either PSV or Galatasaray. How confident are you that we can do it? I think, I don't know if it's the same as the Euros, but I think the Danes will have a pretty full stadium if it's the way they were in the Euros as well. That could obviously have an impact. But did you see anything from Michelin that made you think that we could be in trouble next week, or are you just going to continue the optimism and think that Ange, when our week behind them, will get us through?
It's not that Midtjylland trouble me. It's Celtic that trouble me with some of the players we've got in the pitch. You've seen the night, a lot of kind of unforced errors for us. I mean, their goal is an error for Barkas. Beaton makes an error. Quite a lot of stray passes. I didn't think they looked much of a team, but don't get me wrong, I think next Wednesday will still be a tricky tie. I'll be for home. We're usually a bit shaky in Europe. It's a massive game. It's such a big game, because if we win, irrespective of what happens after that, we'd be guaranteed the Europa League, which is massive, which is really important. So I'm hoping we can go over there and win. I think if we can go over there, get the first goal, and hopefully we have better players in the pitch to obviously shore up the defence and potentially score again. As you touched on, Edward should be burying that. It's his bread and butter, a wee dink. I don't know what team we're going to have next week. Is anybody going to go? Is anybody going to come in that we can play? It's really hard to tell. So I think it's a toss-up. I think it's 50-50 going on tonight's game. They'll have the home advantage. Obviously, the away goal rule is gone now. So it's just a pure toss-up. I don't really know what to expect. I mean, I'm assuming we must be announcing a couple of more players before then. Hopefully, there's players that they can actually play. But I suppose we'll soon see. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad the football's back, and I'm glad that the fans are getting in. Hopefully one of us gets a ticket soon. So we'll see how next week goes. I think we've got West Ham before that in a friendly, and then that's just mere game times for everybody. But I'm looking forward to it. But I don't want to say we're definitely going to get through or we're going to go. I'm much more optimistic than I was on the previous podcast. So and Ange, we trust.
I definitely, I think I always are pretty optimistic compared to what we were on the preview. Danny, what's your thoughts at the halfway point? I know, as Tony said, like, I know me and you had one day hoped to see David Moyes in the Celtic dugout. Unfortunately, he'll be in the Visitors dugout on Saturday. But
I think next week might come too soon for us, just like I thought the night would come too soon for us. But we've got a chance going into the second leg, which is all I was really kind of interested, hopeful of, like the day, thinking about the game. I don't think Michelin are up to much. I mean, I think they had two shots in the game. I don't think they're great, but at the same time, if we're going to give them a goal like we did tonight, then they will punish us. I'd be happy getting into that game with Murray and Welsh at the back. I don't know if Staffelt can play. Obviously, I would just throw him in because that's why you sign these players, but no issue with the team that finished the game. It'll be a tough night. I mean, Saturday's a kind of distraction, isn't it? It's just getting players more minutes and whatever, but I'll roll on next Wednesday because you know, as Tony said, even beating Michelin, it gives us group stage football until Christmas, which, you know, some people, I've seen people online talking about Europe as a distraction, but Europe's such a big thing for Celtic. It's such a big thing for the club. It's a big thing for the fans. And, you know, we've seen it under Brendan Rodgers' first season, Neil Lennon's second season, his first spell at the club in the season before last. But good in Europe tends to lead to, you know, having a good run in the league. That Lennon's second season, the first time around when we were out the group stage of Europa League, but we did good, played well against teams like Atletico Madrid, played well against Udinese away from home, and it kind of, that kind of good performance in Europe was kind of springboarding us onto that unbeaten run that we went on, that seen us going to win the league, and the same with the Europa League the other year with Lazio, and that it just breeds confidence. And, you know, because let's face it, even, you know, Michelin are better than 10 of the 11 teams that we'll play this year in the league. So it's, you know, most teams that we play are better than everybody in our league except, you know, with the exception of Rangers. So if you're winning in Europe, it breeds confidence. So to get group stage football would be massive. But I must admit, I'm a wee bit more optimistic than I was before the game. I've seen enough tonight to suggest that If it doesn't work out for Postecoglou at Celtic, then it's not going to be 100% down to him. It might be dramatic, but I think after half an hour a night, I was convinced that if he wants, you know, $2 million to sign a 36-year-old to fucking stone and, you know, put the bibs out at training, then you do it because that's what he wants. And I don't know, I thought that performance was such a response tonight. It was like, it was the kind of players showing that they believe in the manager. And we never really got that last year when we were crying out for the most. No, I'm more optimistic, but I think it might just be too soon. But hopefully we can keep up to where we started tonight and put them out.
Aye, definitely. And we near beat on safely back in Glasgow when we travelled to Denmark. Are you confident that we can go there with full complement? Obviously, Abada able to be given more game time as well. Are you confident we can go and finish the job out there or at least put up a fighting chance?
I don't think there's any reason why not. I mean, it's been well documented that obviously Midtjylland have lost their fair share of players. There was a couple of players that have no travelled because they're wanting to move on. Like, they face a lot of similar problems to ourselves in the fact, like, if you look at Ayr and things like that, that players wanting to move on, you get injuries, you get a sort of transition, if you like. And that's obviously played a part of why they really didn't offer much at all. Don't get me wrong, when you go away in Europe, particularly when you're Celtic, strange things happen. Guys like Nir Bouton are somehow in your team and make an ass of things quite often. So I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody make a mistake. But I think on the showing of the game and for what I've seen for our players who you would consider a threat, so Abada and Christie and McGregor, and I think for what I've seen for them, there's no reason why we can't go there and put the ball in the net. No reason at all. And if anything, I think it just we're going to find ourselves in a better position. We'd be torn at the back, and if it's to be a young boy or whoever, so be it. I'd rather a boy that's a centre-half and try to obviously make his name in the game than near beat on at this point, because the guy's a fucking liability. So if anything, he's probably done us a favour getting himself sent off, because either he done it in this night and he goes and does it out there and puts us down to 10 men, we're probably fortunate that boy obviously get booked for simulation and get himself sent off, because we're obviously not going to be the fittest that we'll be across the season, and we could have found ourselves 10-11 getting into the dying ends of the game, and that obviously your legs, that tiredness could have set in and they could have got a winner. But I think, you know, there's no reason that I can see why we can't go and win that game. We can't go and score more goals than them, because we looked a far better attacking threat. And with the West Ham game, obviously, you touch wood, we come through it obviously without any wee nicks or niggles or anything that would see anybody out. But it's only going to be a benefit to get your Abadas, your Eddies, these guys a bit of game time, hopefully. I mean, hopefully they can even get a wee assist or a goal, and it just gets that confidence going. I do believe that we can go into that game and win it. I do think so. So I'm positive getting into that game. And like I say, hopefully McTony picked up on it. I don't know what the isolation rules will be or anything like that for any of the new boys who have come in, but hopefully, even if we could get one of them in the squad somewhere, would only be a positive as well.
Aye, definitely. I think there's not too much covering much more ground. Everybody seems quite positive, and aye, we'll see what happens next week. It's obviously a massive tie, as we've all said. Even to get through this round would be massive for Ange, and just give everybody sort of that much of a boost. But aye, this was just really a reaction episode to the night's game. We will be back next week. Just like to thank Manscaped for sponsoring this episode. If you would like a great 20% discount over at manscaped.com, go to manscaped.com and then just any product you want, put in the discount code TRIM4TIMS, that's TRIM the number 4 TIMS, and you'll get a great discount on their products. So thanks again to them for sponsoring this episode. We've also had a great response. We've started putting our episodes on YouTube. We're hoping to have a lot more content on YouTube as we look to grow. So a big thanks to everybody that's checked that out. It's really everybody that subscribes and leaves a like. It really does help the channel grow. But no, thanks very much for taking the time to listen, and we will speak to you next week when Ange has delivered us from evil in Denmark.
And also YouTube, a lot of fans came to us and obviously asked us if YouTube was something that we're going to be looking into, and it is. We're going to hopefully ramp up some video content throughout the year, and obviously Celtic have been part of that with the fan media events, which you'll continually be put on YouTube channel, but we will be uploading any recorded podcasts on there. So if you're maybe a YouTube man, then head along to 4TIMS Podcast YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
Fucking just said that, you can't.
Did you?
Oh, fucking aye.
No, I wasn't listening. I just seen Tony's message in that chat a minute ago, and I thought, oh fuck, I must have missed it.
Right, goodbye. Thanks for listening.